So after he got up and got his own head on his body, he began to talk, and they said, you know, we can't identify your body, but your voice does ring of the voice of the Messiah. Yes! That's what our supporters began to say. So you know, we expected Rod Muhammad to come back, but he sounds like he is the one. And I'm going to stay right here until he proves otherwise. That's what my supporters said. My enemies don't want to see you like see me in this light, because this is your strength. You are people that have suffered unusual circumstances, and they don't want to see you get an unusual blessing. They say for unusual mistreatment in this world, you shouldn't get nothing but a usual blessing. That's what they're saying by their attitude. That, oh, we Negroes ain't supposed to have nothing but a usual blessing. If this man is somebody special, like a God-sent man or an inspired man, a man that God has given vision to unlock mysteries, then he ain't for us. A nigger shouldn't have that. I'll fight you until the sun go down and come up again and sit for a million years. Because you are a devil. That's right. Yes, you're going to push a people back that Allah has brought into glory. Push them back and tell them, no, the man is wrong. He's only an imam. He's only a reverend. If he says that God has shown him something like the great miracles he showed the prophets, don't believe it. He's trying to take advantage of you. Why, hell, you deserved it. You are the people that's been carried through the same kind of trials and torments that the Hebrews were carried through. And your own soul tell you that God should answer you in the same way that he answered them. If he is a God, if he exists, he should answer you the same way he answered them. Now, I know Prophet Muhammad is the last prophet. I follow him. I don't want nobody to think I'm a prophet. I'm no prophet. But I am an inspired man. Yes. And you didn't inspire me. Allah inspired me. I'm not talking to you people. I'm talking to my enemy. You didn't inspire me. Allah inspired me. You didn't take me by the hand when I needed help. Allah took me by the hand when I needed help. You gave me arguments that I couldn't accept. I had to reject what you gave me. You didn't lead me into what I have. Allah led me into what I have. You weren't with me when I looked at the word vinegar in the Bible, and the message came to me that this is asceticism. You weren't with me. You didn't tell me a goddamn thing. That's right. Nobody was with me. Not a human being was with me. I was only by myself. I was by myself. That's right. In my tub, taking my bath. In my bed, trying to sleep. That's when these things came to me. Now, you wasn't with me. So you explain it. Now you explain it. No, they say Prophet Muhammad is gone, nothing else but Prophet Muhammad. Any other man, he got to be a scholar, he should go to school and let the traditional teachers teach him. Okay, well, I didn't go to your school. I wanted to go to Ashar University. My father told me it's useless to send you to Ashar because you're going to prison. Yeah, they had already convicted me Pardon me, they'd already charged me. They hadn't convicted me. They had charged me for not accepting the draft. So my father said, no need to send you there. I'm going to send Akbar. He sent Akbar to ask her, my younger brother. I went to prison. When I got out of prison, my father wasn't even in a mood to talk about it. I never went to ask her. I met people in the United States that I knew to be friends and good people. They learned it in the religion. But they won't tell you anything if they know. They won't tell you. They must belong to some kind of Alpha Beta Kappa or something. I don't know. They got to belong to some order, and they can't share nothing with anybody outside of their order. Well, that's their business, to live in their own pickle jars. But now I'm talking to you. Look, I don't care nothing about the rest of the people. When it comes to this, Allah is my witness. I know I'm not a foolish man. I know I can go to Saudi Arabia and say I want to serve al-Islam. I want to be under you all. They will send me to Africa or some other else or back here, and I wouldn't have to worry about money or nothing. I know that. I'm not a foolish man. Okay? I know what I can do. I know I don't have to ask for bread over here. Not only that, I know I could pretend to lie and say I've gotten a vision. I could teach the gospel better than they can, better than the Christians can. I could lie and say I got a vision and become a Christian, and I know these Christians would give me everything I want. So when the Arabs come over here and they hear me what I say and they don't like it, until you respond to it, I don't give a shit. Excuse the language. Excuse the language. It ain't nothing but doo-doo. Same thing, they just got different names. And if you use the right name, you get more attention from the people. So I want all of you to hear me, so I said shit. Yeah. I don't care what they think, unless you be affected by what they think. So you shouldn't be affected by that. Look, haven't we followed Prophet Muhammad? And Prophet Muhammad was an Arab? Haven't we committed ourselves to continue to follow Prophet Muhammad? And Prophet Muhammad was an Arab? Well, if Allah blessed this world with an African man to have vision, how come they can't follow that African man who says he followed Prophet Muhammad? Huh? Hold up. Shouldn't their turn come to prove that they can follow somebody outside of their race? Yes. Their turn should come. We've been following them outside of our race. Now their turn should come to follow somebody outside of their race. And Prophet Muhammad obligated them to follow the best qualified among them. He said, even if his head be the head of a nappy-headed, raisin-headed African. And they'll laugh at us. Oh, that little mannish nigger think he's gonna lead us. And God says, I'm going to make a man. And Iblis say, do you think I'll ever submit to follow that you make from stinky mud, fashioned in the shape? And isn't that what they call us all overseas? All those Negroes have strong musk. They're a stinky race. And they have no refined culture. Coarse life people. They are not established. They are like stinky mud. So now, God, if you fashion them in the shape, do you think we're going to submit to them? You think we're going to follow their lead? God says, I know what you don't know. Woo. Say, you just wait around until I have breathed into him of my spirit. And then you have come willingly and unwillingly. Inshallah. I don't want nobody to come to me. Really, I don't even want you to come to me against your will. The only people I want to come to me are the people that really need me the most. That's you. And Allah knows I don't have no desire to be a leader over Indians and Egyptians and Chinese people, Chinese Muslims. Allah knows that ain't in my heart to be their leader. But if Allah raised me above them, they are foolish to reject me as their leader. They're just stupid. Praise be to Allah. Now, let's see how our time going. Oh, yeah, we okay. That's, I'll tell you the truth now. I feel at home. Yeah, I've told you before that when I'm among you all, I feel like I can make my bed right here. That's right. When I'm finished, I feel like if I'm tired, I sleep right there on the floor with you. Yeah. And get up in the morning, wash up, and start the day all over again. That's the way I feel. And I don't feel any threat from the enemy. No, I'm trying to help the enemy. Doing my best. That's right, doing my best to help the enemy. But his flesh is so rotten that by the time you pick a little piece up here and put it back, the side done fell off. Now, you know, these are things that I had to talk to you today about. Okay. I'm going to put Bilal up here. Bilal is a sign. Bilal, B-I-L-A-L, Bilal. Now, you know, it seems kind of strange to me that the man, the African man, that Prophet Muhammad chose to be one of his companions, to attend his personal needs. Do you know that? Prophet Muhammad included Bilal among those companions who attended his personal needs. And history tells us that in his sick days, leading up to his passing away, it was Bilal who was desperately trying to save him. Wasn't it? Who was desperately trying to save the prophet when the fever was high and he was about to pass away? It was Bilal. He ran looking for the deep water to bring it back to the prophet. The prophet told him, say, go get some water from the deep well. It'll be cooler. This ain't nothing to take lightly. All right? Because if you ever had a reason to believe in God, it's in my life. That's right. African Americans have had no reason to believe in God until my life. No reason. No reason. That's right. What reason had you to believe in God? You had all the worst circumstances. Why, a person should believe in God on the basis of grace. That's right. The belief in God comes with what? Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahim. You didn't have Ar-Rahman, and the Ar-Rahim didn't come until now. That's right. Yes. You just had life in a miserable situation. And you are the people who are most given to worship God. In your miserable situation, you are crying for God. You see how God works it? It's not the people that are in grace that will appreciate him. It's the people that are out of grace that will appreciate him. So he let them be thrown out of grace so that they can come in to appreciation, into love for him. And then he take those who were in grace and he say, okay, you ain't in grace no more. I put the lamb there in your place. Praise be to Allah. Now look, dear beloved people, this man Bilal, he's in the Bible. He's under the name Bilal. Bilal. And the Jewish people say, understand now that Bilal was under a heathen. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he didn't have a religion. Doesn't mean that he didn't have Christianity. Because he came from Africa. Some say he was born in Mecca, but it ain't no proof for that. Even if he was born in Mecca, he still could have descended from parents who were Christians and still held his own Christian tradition. Isn't that true? He didn't have, because there were Christians also in Mecca. So he didn't have to be a heathen because he was there. He could have been a Christian. And it's my belief that Bilal was a Christian. And when he heard about Muhammad, his heart turned to it because he understood what was revealed in the scriptures before. Oh, yes. He was still a slave, but he said, La ilaha illallah. Understand that Bilal wasn't no young man. He wasn't no young man. He wasn't no boy in slavery. He was a man, grown up man in slavery. All right. Okay, so we have Bilal and Bilal. What does the Bible say about this name? Calls it Bilal. Says Bilal is a worthless thing. Isn't that what they said about us? Worthless people. And they called Bilal worthless thing. What the Arabs call him? Ibn Rabah. Son of Rabah. And who is Rabah? A robber. A thief. Means son of the thief. They call him Bilal, son of the cheater, son of the thief, son of the profiteering criminal. That's what it means. You can check it out. You want to waste your time? I already checked it out for you. I'm your leader. I checked it out for you. All right, check it out if you want to, please. But my friends who don't want to waste your time, now I'm telling you, don't have to waste your time. I'm your leader. I checked it out for you. It's finished. Yes. So he was the, they call him son of the profiteering criminal. Son there means dependent. A son is a dependent on his father or his parent. They mean dependent of the profiteering criminal. And hadn't he made himself a helpless dependent of the man who just wanted profit but had no humanity? Slave master. Right? Yeah. And when they came with enough money, he took the money and let Bilal go. Excuse me for taking off the coat, it's a little warm. All right. Again, the donkey upon which Baal rode, Baal, also called Baal in the Bible, and Balaam, right? Yes, Balaam. He was riding the donkey. And the donkey had done his bidding up to a point. When the donkey saw the angel in the way, the donkey stopped and refused to obey the commands of his rider. And the rider wondered what had happened to this donkey. How come he doesn't do my biddings as he has been always doing? So after striking the donkey three times, the donkey began to speak with man voice. And he questioned the rider. He said, "Why have you struck me these three times?" And then the donkey gave a revelation to his rider. Is that not right? And then the rider had a mission to go tell his boss, his chief, what the donkey had said. And actually, God had revealed through the donkey to the rider. Is that not right? And the rider then was given a mission to go and deliver the message to his chief. In other words, to the chief of the society. Now, what does this mean? Who is the donkey? Spoiled flesh. Spoiled flesh. Flesh that had become so dependent that it won't rule itself. It'd rather let somebody else sit on it. Is that not right? Yes. So haven't we been a people with Baal on our backs? Or Balaam, whatever they call him in the Bible? We have been a donkey people with Balaam on our backs. Baal on our backs. Yeah, Balaam was the chief that he talked to. I'm almost sure we have it correct now. Yeah. So we've been a people with Baal on our backs. On our shoulder, pardon me. Or head. But like on the back, because the head that crowns the animal just straddles his back, right? Okay, all right. And the mind that we had, and the mind many of us have now, is the mind that we have to change. Because that's ball riding our backs. In other words, the stupid mind, the wandering mind, that is upon your shoulders have been given to you from the cruel circumstances that you've been put in, have been given to you by your slave masters. Your oppressors have given you that mind. And that mind is going against your own nature. And that mind has made your own nature a stupid, dummy, donkey of burden. Yes, but Allah has blessed us in the flesh of one of the donkeys. The voice has come up. Voice come up out of his flesh, speak to his mind. Say, "No, don't ride me that way. Why are you treating me like this, Wallace? Say, why are you treating your nature like this? You wasn't supposed to wish up no Farah, W.D. Farah. Say, why are you treating your nature like this? Say, don't you know that's another white man? Say, why are you treating? Why you treat your nature like this, Wallace?" So Wallace listened to his flesh. He said, "Keep talking. Sounds pretty good." Yes. And I'm sitting up there, you know what I'm saying? "Flesh, how come you don't obey the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? Flesh, what's wrong with you? How come you don't obey the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? I'm telling you to go to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's direction. Get up, go. Move in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's direction. How come you won't move?" Flesh say, "I see something in the path." "Say, what is it?" "There's an angel standing with a flaming sword." So I find myself torn within myself, one mind wrestling with the other. the one that is a super ego is riding the id, the lower body, you know, and saying to it, what's wrong with you? How come you're rebelling against what we've been trained in for now 35 years? I said, what's wrong with you? I said, well, I just can't accept that anymore. Well, I can't tell anybody that. I said, well, I ain't gonna move and carry you no further until you do. And he said, well, the brother, have I convinced you now on a spiritual level? I said, well, I don't know. I don't know what I should do. He said, are you going to hit me 3 times like Ball did his master? I said, well, let me think about it. And he spoke, and he said, will you strike me again now? I'm speaking to you on rational level. I said, no. Please, please. Go on in the direction you want to go. I'm going to lead you there. I'm going to do my best to lead you just where you want to go. So I said, no. I'm not going to strike you on the second time. I struck him nothing but once to try to get him to change his spirit. But I wouldn't strike him on a rational plane. I just couldn't do that. So I let him go. But some of us, when the voice of righteousness rises up in us, in our spirit, we reject the spirit. When it appears in the conscience on a rational plane, we reject the rational plane. Yes. Then when interpretation is made and we see the logic unlocking mystery, we still reject it, even on the plane of revelation. Yes. But I just hit my donkey once. When it got in the spirit that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad hadn't trained it in. I didn't like that. I struck it. But when it didn't change, I didn't have the heart to keep whipping it. Hit it again. All right. So, what happened? I'm showing you what the scripture's saying in real life. So you'll have no doubt as to what scripture's saying. I have experienced it. I can tell you from experience. All right. Then what came into me? Say, now it is you are obligated now to pass this on, to get it to other people. You have to bring this to the people. Now I'm supposed to, I have to now tell those, the society in which I was born, raised, society that I have to answer to. I have to go and tell them now that you're wrong. Say, well, where you get that message from? Who told you you're wrong? Say, well, it's in the Holy Quran. It's in 3 stage development. Scared to tell you Hebrews that I'm an inspired man. God has shown me these things. Knowing what you do, you go to Spooksville, or you'll say I'm crazy, right? So I said, now we're talking about 3 stage development. Have you talked about that? I said, well, we have to go to the Quran, right? We have to go to the Quran. And just gradually, by degree, understanding began to unfold, right? Oh, yes. I told you, I said, well, I said, you know what Dr. Ernest C. Lincoln said? He said that he believes in a genetic theory of our connection with El Islam. I said, what is happening to us is our genetic bank is speaking to us with the voices of our ancestors. Yes. Yes. Oh, that's wonderful, I'm telling you. Now, you know, let's look at scripture and see if scripture gives us another sign of this particular state of the individual. They think that man, this particular element, or this particular elitist group in this world and in this society, they think that nobody can get anything unless they give it to them. They think if you got anything of worth, it came from them. You can't come to no knowledge. You can't come to no intelligent vision. You can't establish your society without them. That's their opinion. But God say, I reveal to whom I please what I please. Say, whom I will, I guide. Whom I will to leave astray, I lead them astray. And God has proven in Prophet Muhammad, an unlettered man, an uneducated man, in the darkest continent of the dark ages, he rose up that man and made him a scientist, torchbearer of knowledge and understanding for the whole world. Him and his community, his ummah. Is that not right? Oh, yes. So God has proven in Prophet Muhammad that they are liars. The man don't have to go to the scholars for any deliverance. If God wants to, he will go to the man that the scholars are denying and rejecting, and he will raise that man up, and he will make that man a representative of truth and science and put the light of the elitist group out. And that's what happened. Oh, yes, that's what happened in the days of Prophet Muhammad. All right. So what does the Bible say? The Bible says that Jesus came upon the fig tree. And he said to the fig tree, because you have no food for me, I curse you to wither, dry up, and bear fruit no more. And the Bible says, and straightway that tree withered. That's the Bible. Talking about a fig tree. Now, fig tree is a symbol of the same kind of state that the masses are left in under their oppressive bosses. They deny us the ability of rational insight. They deny us higher education. If they give us higher education, they deny us the connecting tools. So that we never have the ability of translation or interpretation. Yeah, that's right. So they keep us depending on nothing but our imagination. Is that not right? And you heard the expression, that's a figment of your imagination. So figs are the product of imagination. Fig tree represents the imagination. And the fruit of that tree is the product of the process of imagination. And that's all you have when you don't have knowledge. Is that not right? So Jesus said, he said, since you have not given head empty, you don't have anything to give me in my hunger, wither away and bear fruit no more. Cursed it. What is that saying? That's saying that Jesus came to crucify the masses. There's a lot I would like to say to make this clear to you, but we don't have the time. I'm giving it to you. It's clear enough. This is saying that Jesus came, and the first thing he did was crucify the masses. That ain't a sign of true Jesus. That's not a sign of the true Jesus. No, indeed. The true Jesus come to liberate the masses. Oh, yes. But the Bible and its tricked up thing and its tricks, it shows the mind and the policy of the slave master and not Jesus. And it puts that in the mouth of Jesus. So they put in the Bible under Jesus' name their own plan, their own design for conquest of the world. And they put it under the name Jesus to hide from the world what their plan is, knowing that they'll never find it here. No one will ever think our blueprint for conquest of the world is under this holy symbol of ours. So they say, he caused the fig tree to wither and bear fruit no more. But what does Allah say about the fig tree in the Quran? Wadini. And the fig tree, and by the fig tree. Watini wa zaytun wa tursini wa hadha baladi lamin laqad khalaqna al-insana fi ahsani taqwim. By the fig tree, and by the olive, and by Mount Sinai, and by this town made safe, surely indeed God created man in the best of modes. So it includes the fig tree in the honorable progression of man.
Yes.
Say, how can you reject the very base from which you have been raised? You didn't have the oil of the olive before you had the fig. You first had common human imaginability to imagine, to think, free thought. That's what you had first. And then God blessed you with the oil of the olive. And then he blessed you through the power of the oil to get up to Mount Sinai. And then he blessed you with the vision to see how to come down off of Mount Sinai and run the community. Yes. So the Quran tells us, no, you don't reject that. Don't say that anything God has created naturally in the human being is bad and worthless. So Bilal had nothing but his imagination. But with his imagination, on the basis of his imagination, Prophet Muhammad was not teaching him on the basis of his freedom of thought, the ability to think for himself. He said, this man is right, these pagans are wrong, I will die upholding his principle. And because he was on that state, he's given the name Bilal. Praise be to Allah. There are other symbols that they have that represent this state. The bell is one. The trumpet is another. Oh, yes. The donkey, the trumpet, the bell, Bilal, all the same thing. They say when the trumpet is blown. And in the Bible, how was the trumpet blown? Three times. He blew the trumpet three times and brought down the walls of Jericho. And the Christians ring the bell. And Allah says to Prophet Muhammad, say, yes, he made the man from clay, but don't overlook that he also made him from sounding clay. The clay of the potter that has been formed to a round to a shape, when you hit it, it has a ring. It gives off a sound. But the fresh clay, when you hit it, no sound. You have to be close to hear a little pump. But what does it do? It bears an indentation. It bears a print. Right? So we know that some of us are imaginative, like fresh clay. And then some of us are not only imaginative, but we are expressive, like the ringing bell, or like the clay that rings when you strike it with the object. Right? So what is it saying? Simply that man has been created with imagination and ability of expression. And isn't that the first level? The first level of the man's mind in its stages of growth? First level is to imagine, to give an image, and then express what you experience. Yes. And Allah says, reduce him to that state. And you think he can't be taught? Just because you won't teach him? Just leave him alone. In time, I will teach him. Is this hadith? The established hadith that says, Prophet Muhammad says, say, Allah will give you a mu'allim. Mu'allim is a common word that's used today. It means teacher. It's a common word for teacher. Mu'allim. Any two, you go to an Arab world. If you say, ayn al-mu'allim, a fain al-mu'allim, they know you're saying, where's the teacher? And Allah says, through Prophet Muhammad says that Allah will give you a mu'allim. Say, Allah will make a mu'allim. Didn't say the scholars will make it. This is hadith. Says, Allah will make a mu'allim, a teacher. Now, that's simply what I'm saying to you, that Allah has made me qualified to teach you. Now, where is the man that can come and challenge what I'm saying? Praise be to Allah. Now, look at, we don't want these people to talk over our heads anymore. We want them to see in our expression that they're fools when they try to talk over our heads.
That's right.
Allah want to dignify us. Allah want us to come up from that laughable state that this world put us in. Look, you know, a banana is a fruit also. And they have a way of saying you're crazy. They say he's gone bananas. Right? Telling us again what? That they don't respect the level of development in the mind of the masses. And they think your freedom of thought without their secret knowledge makes you inferior. You are a laughing matter. Your knowledge is foolishness. You are bananas. Now, you know the banana, like this, right? And if you cut a piece of it like this, crosswise, you see its little seeds, like that, right? Little seeds like that. Now, the fig is like this, the little stem, and its seeds too. Like that, right? Like that. So, the society that doesn't respect the nature that Allah made, they think that you are born with intelligence from your parents. And that if you don't have it from your parents, then you are inferior. Just a few decades ago, the leading people in America's field of social science and psychology said that intelligence is by inheritance. And that the Negro is inherently inferior because his African father were inferior. And we don't want none of that blood in our veins because they will pollute our holy vessels. That's what they said, right? But the progress of the sciences has forced them to change that lie. But you know, Mr. Sparky, is that his name, Sparky? Huh? Yeah, I thought he was a shocker. Mr. Sharky. I knew he was a spark or a shock. I wasn't sure. They gave him the television, national television. And with his credibility in science. You see what they were doing? Here's a man with credibility in science. That man had invented a little electronic mechanism that had advanced, yes, a transistor, that had advanced the transistor so much that it was almost like a miracle of science. And they gave that man national television exposure so he can sell his race. See, now we got a white boy. Look what he had done. We got a white man that has invented a transistor that almost confounds the imagination of the scientists. Little teeny thing can do so much. See, now let's put him on TV and have him tell the rest of the white people that the nigger is still what we thought he was. He's inherently inferior. See, we can't reverse time. And establish this in all of our institutions, we don't have to. When our white folks hear what Mr. Shockley has to say about the Negro, knowing that he has just come out with this great miraculous breakthrough in the sciences of electronics, they're gonna buy what he says. They know he ain't no fool. And tell me, doesn't Mr. Shockley's time represent a time of rebirth for racism in this country? Yes, you know it.